Spotlight.
Good evening and welcome to Spotlight. I am your host, Rajesh Lake. Today we focus on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Malaysia, a visit widely seen as an important step in strengthening India-Malaysia bilateral ties and deepening India's ACT East engagement. To help us unpack the strategic, economic and geopolitical significance of this visit, we are joined by Ambassador Ashok Sajjanhar, former Indian envoy and a keen observer of India's foreign policy. Ambassador, thank you very much for being with us on Spotlight today.
Thank you very much, Rajesh.
Ambassador, let's begin by asking you at the broadest level, how would you characterize the significance of Prime Minister Modi's visit to Malaysia at this particular geopolitical moment for India and the wider Indo-Pacific?
If we look at relations between India and Malaysia, they are, of course, historic. They are civilizational. We have a huge Indian diaspora. It's the third largest diaspora we have in Malaysia in the world. So the relations are truly strong and vibrant. That having been said, at the bilateral level, of course, they need to grow much more, whether it is in the area of trade, it is in the area of investment, in the area of innovation, technology, education, healthcare, defense, security. There's a whole gamut of areas where bilaterally both nations can upgrade their partnership, and that has been happening over the last few years. We witnessed that, but of course the potential is still much more. In the geopolitical area, the Indo-Pacific has emerged as a geography of contestation, a geography of big power rivalry, and ASEAN countries, particularly the 10 ASEAN countries of which Malaysia is an important member, it is one of the original 5 founding members of ASEAN. They don't want to take any sides between China and between the United States. So I think in that context, India has emerged as a very attractive partner, attractive player, because India is stable polity. So there is political stability, and in the area of economics, India is a rapidly growing economy. So I think Malaysia, both in its bilateral relations as also a very active member of the ASEAN, we would like to strengthen our partnership with Malaysia and through Malaysia, strengthen our ACT East policy, our Mahasagar policy, and also our Indo-Pacific vision.
Given China's growing footprint in Southeast Asia, Ambassador, how does deeper India-Malaysia engagement alter the regional balance, and how should New Delhi calibrate this so that it is seen as stabilizing rather than confrontationist?
No, absolutely. I think you're very right. What India has been wanting is to strengthen its partnership with all these countries individually as well as collectively. So basically to provide greater options to these countries rather than pitching one country against the other. They also need to have options, like we see that the global political liberal order that has been fraying at the edges. It is emerging as now a multipolar world. So countries want to have different options. That is why we saw that Malaysia was so keen to become a member of the BRICS, and it became a partner country in 2024 at the Kazan summit in Russia. So India would like to engage with all these countries. You would remember that when India had spoken at the Shangri-La Dialogue in 2018 on the Indo-Pacific vision of India, we had said that we would like an inclusive, free, open Indo-Pacific. So we don't want to take a position against any country.
We already have a framework for economic engagement through ASEAN. What are the specific bilateral bottlenecks, tariff or non-tariff barriers, regulatory issues, connectivity gaps that this visit should prioritize for resolution?
You mentioned, Rajesh, about the institutional framework that we have with the ASEAN, and that's an important instrumentality that we have, that is of the India-ASEAN Free Trade Agreement. Your listeners would recall that we started negotiation on that in 2001, and concluded those negotiations in 2009. And our bilateral trade between India and ASEAN, which was about, let's say, $12 billion at the beginning of this negotiating process, this increased to about $75, $80 billion. Rajesh, now for the last few years, it was supposed to have got concluded last year. And last year, it was Malaysia that was chairing the ASEAN. We had got significant assurances from Malaysia that this review would be finalized by the end of last year. That didn't happen. I think we need a few months more. So once the review is complete and we take action, then there will be some balance as far as the two are concerned. The second part that you have mentioned on the bilateral plane, there are a number of areas. We have a comprehensive economic partnership, cooperation partnership agreement with Malaysia.
India and Malaysia are linked by a vibrant Indian diaspora and deep historical ties. This visit can leverage cultural and people-to-people links to act as a multiplier for political and economic relations. This is what Prime Minister Modi said in Malaysia.
India will always embrace you with open arms. That is why we made a historic decision. Just a few months ago, we extended the OCI card eligibility to Malaysian citizens of Indian origin up to the sixth generation. We have been supporting the Indian Scholarship Trust Fund. Now, we are also going to give Thiruvalluvar Scholarship for students to study in India. And we look forward to seeing you in the Know India program. You will be happy to know that we will soon be opening a new consulate of India in Malaysia. This will bring us even closer. Friend, 1.4 billion Indians want to build a developed India by 2047.
So it seems the Prime Minister is hinting that Malaysia has a big role to play when it comes to India moving towards developed nation status in 2047. So beyond the bilateral track, Ambassador, how can India and Malaysia work together more effectively in ASEAN-led forums, the East Asia Summit and other Indo-Pacific platforms to promote a rule-based inclusive order?
Both India and Malaysia, if I could say, they are on the same page, that India wants a free and open, inclusive, prosperous Indo-Pacific. We want freedom of navigation. We want freedom of overflights. We want peace. We want security. We want a rule-based international order in that region. And so also does Malaysia, because Malaysia, as I said, it's a small country, not a very large population, and it depends very much on global trade, on international trade. So it wants peace and security as far as its waters are concerned. And it really sits at the edge of one of the most significant choke points, not only of that region, but I think of the whole world, which is the Malacca Straits. Malacca is one of the regions of Malaysia, and that abuts Indonesia. So that's a very narrow channel from where about 40% of the global trade and about 40% of the global energy is transported. So this can be a choke point for countries in East Asia, particularly China, which depends for so much of its economic growth and economic rise to energy that it comes to it from the Middle East. So this is very, very important for all countries in the region. And both India and Malaysia, in the rubric of the ASEAN, can work together very effectively, of course, bilaterally also. As you just played the statement by the Honorable Prime Minister in Kuala Lumpur earlier today, when he was addressing the Indian diaspora there. And as I said earlier, it is 2.9 million. It is the third largest in the world, the first being in the US, the second being in the United Arab Emirates. And this is the third largest. So the fact that Prime Minister announced that sixth generation people will also be allowed to carry their OCI cards, that I think is a huge shot in the arm for the Indian diaspora community there. And it will really spur the relations between the two sides. There is also the about 90% of the people there are from Tamil Nadu. They speak Tamil, of Tamilian origin. So the institution of the Thiruvalluvar Scholarship, that also will go a long way in that direction. So I think the potential both at the bilateral level as well as at the regional level for the two countries to collaborate is huge. And this visit is going to further spur it. The Prime Minister was not able to travel to Malaysia last year because of certain domestic reasons. And he had promised to Prime Minister Anwar that he would definitely be visiting there very soon. He's gone there. And I think it is a measure of the confidence that both the leaders have and the trust factor that they have in each other.
Correct.
That Prime Minister Anwar, he accompanied Prime Minister Modi to the Indian diaspora event earlier today.
The Prime Minister also talked about relationship between the two nations, which is scaling new heights. Let's hear what he said about it.
Our relationship with Malaysia is scaling new heights each year. In 2024, during the visit of Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim to New Delhi, we elevated our ties to a comprehensive strategic partnership. Today, we walk hand in hand as partners towards progress and prosperity. We celebrate each other's success just as our own. I was touched by Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim's good wishes on the historic success of Chandrayaan 3. I agree with you, my dear friend. India's success is Malaysia's success. It is Asia's success. That is why I say the guiding word of our relationship is impact.
Ambassador, if you look ahead, after listening to what the Prime Minister said, if you look ahead 5 to 10 years, what is your strategic vision of where India-Malaysia relations could be, both bilaterally and within the larger Indo-Pacific context?
I think if I were to see about a decade ahead, I would see that the economic partnership between the two countries would be much stronger. In recent years, we have seen that there have been some issues, some problems related to India's domestic issues, whether it is related to Kashmir, whether it is related to the activities of the Islamic preacher Zakir Naik. But I think both the countries, both the leaders, very wisely have decided to put these issues aside, focus on the areas of congruence, focus on the areas where they align, their thinking is aligned, and that is how they are taking it forward. So what I can see is that geopolitically, strategically, economically, both the countries are on the same page. Both the countries see that collaboration with each other is going to be a win-win proposition for both of them. So 10 years ahead, more peace, greater stability, greater prosperity, greater economic engagement, greater people-to-people engagement, because that is what ultimately defines and decides the vibrancy and the strength of any relationship. And that will be reflected not only as far as the bilateral ties are concerned, but also it will give an impetus and provide a spurt to relations between India and ASEAN. Once we have the ASEAN-India Trade and Goods Agreement review also completed, I think that will also provide a big impetus. India is opening up, as we have seen. It has signed about 8 free trade agreements over the last 2 years. That means India is opening up. India is becoming more competitive. And that will be helpful for the Indian economy, for the Indian industry, as also for Malaysia and our bilateral partnership.
Here's a report from our correspondent, Durgesh Bedoria. Ambassador Sajjanhar, thank you very much for your insights and for laying out so clearly the opportunities and challenges in taking India-Malaysia relations to the next level. Thank you for being with Akashvani.
Thank you very much, Rajesh.
Listeners, you can also listen to this program on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Spotlight.